You're listening to 808s and Ankle Breaks on Amherst Wired. Check out other podcasts like The Polygonal Sunrise and The Zoo Report right here on the network. For more content, go to amherstwired.com. The student-run magazine has a variety of articles in both campus news and entertainment.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 42. It's the hip-hop and basketball-based podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Kerma, entertainment and podcast editor of the Amherst Wire, also a Hold My Drink sports contributor. With me is my other host,
Trevor Wilson, the assistant entertainment editor for the Amherst Wire. I don't have an alter ego today. I literally am so busy, I don't have time to come up with an alter ego for today's episode.
It's okay.
But one consolation is it's a beautiful day outside. It's nice. The wind's picking up a little bit, but it's warm. Spring is here. You know what else is here? Your favorite podcast duo. So, Kerm, what do we got on the schedule today?
So today on episode James Worthy, we will be doing Slap or Skip per usual. Then after that, we'll be briefly talking about the unfortunate news of Nipsey Hussle being murdered this week. Sadly, we'll discuss that briefly. Then after that, we'll be instituting a new segment called Pause, Party, and Play, as well as Start, Bench, and Drop. We'll explain more once we get there. But first things first, Slap or Skip.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're new here, I forgive you. But today, Slap or Skip is our weekly segment where we talk about the hottest singles of the week. If we like it, we give it a slap. If we don't, it's a skip. If it's somewhere in between, we give it a meh. First things first on our list, we got Ugly God featuring Lil Pump, their latest single, Hello. What did you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm hitting this one with a slap, first slap for this week's episode. This song is fire. I actually really like this song. It's got this really cool, like, 8-bit synth kind of driving the whole melody. The beat is super, the drums themselves are super bouncy. Ugly God, his verse is crazy. Lil Pump, he kind of snaps too. They both just play off each other really well on this track. It's a lot of fun to listen to. Good bop for sure. So I'm giving it a slap.
I'll also be giving this track a slap. Yeah, Trevor pretty much hit everything on the nose. The beat is fire. I looked it up to see if it was produced by Ugly God. It was actually produced by Thank You Fizzle. But yeah, the beat is like
household
it's got
name.
This, you know, video game. It's got this video game sound going to it. Fire for sure. Ugly God, he, you know, puts a little Spanish in his verse for those that didn't know that, you know, he's also Hispanic. Lil Pump's verse is also solid. So yeah, definitely check this one out. This is probably, and for this playlist this week, this is
probably
the
best track
of the week.
Yeah,
for sure.
This is probably the best track.
Next we got the return of Lil Uzi Vert, Free Uzi. It wasn't officially released by Lil Uzi, but it was seen on like World Star Hip Hop.
It got leaked.
Yeah. It was just on a lot of different platforms. So definitely check that one out. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I think I'm gonna give this a meh. I was on the fence for a while just because I felt like out of not even sympathy, but just because Lil Uzi is back, like you got to be happy about that. You got to love that he's back making music. I do feel, though, that he kind of like trips over himself sometimes when he's rapping on this song. I think he goes like a little bit too fast, not even chasing the beat. Sometimes it seems like he's ahead of it, but very energetic. You're always going to get that from Uzi. And I actually like how it sounds a little bit pitched up. But my biggest complaint is that this song, it's not that long. It's like 309, I think, in terms of time. But it feels really long just because Uzi doesn't really do anything else besides the same speedy flow throughout the whole track. So it's a meh from me.
Yeah, it's also a meh from me. While I enjoyed the beat on this, I enjoyed the energy behind it. The flow does grow stale. Uzi also lacks direction, which is nothing new for Uzi. If you're a Lil Uzi fan, you will like this track.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not anything new from him. It's not, you know, anything, I'd say, below his quality of work. I think, you know, he's kind of just doing what he typically does on the track. I just think the flow does get stale when you use it for 3 minutes straight. But still a solid track overall.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm also glad to see that Lil Uzi is expected to be going to Rock Nation once Eternal a Take drops. And that should be dropping hopefully soon. Yeah. And then he can get out of his deal with DJ Drama and company. But next track we got Cuban Doll featuring Moneybagg Yo. Subs, what'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm also going to hit this one with a meh. Pretty hard. The beat is really up-tempo. Cuban Doll, she goes pretty hard on it, too. I feel like she matches the energy of the beat. Moneybagg Yo, too, he has a solid verse. But for me, there's just, like, not a whole lot to take away from this song. It's good to listen to. Like, if it's on at a party, like, in the background, like, I'll dance to it. It's great. It's got that great vibe to it. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of substance here. So, for me, it's all right.
I'm also going to give this a meh, and I'm simply just going to say... How many people can make the same party song and we'd be okay with this? overall, it's, you know, it's not a bad track. It's not bad rapping, but it's still just talking about the same concepts of, you know, flexing, which there's nothing wrong with flexing, but it also comes to a point where, you know, everybody's albums and everybody's singles are starting to sound eerily similar. Where it's
you got to find a better way to do it.
Where it seems we're all just trying to chase the same trend of let's make a banger and try and make a hit off of that. So for that reason, I'm just going to give it a meh. Not that it's bad, just not anything out of the ordinary. Next we got off of Saweetie's new project, Icy. We took the track Emotional featuring Quavo. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm skipping this one. There's just not a whole lot to like about this song. I mean, it's pretty energetic. The beat is very bright. They overuse the hell out of those cowbells, though. Oh, my God. But Saweetie, like, she doesn't really give you a whole lot, and Quavo's part is so skippable. It's just, there's really just nothing enjoyable about this song, in my opinion. I feel like it's really unstructured. I don't even want to say rushed. I just, like, don't know what's going on. There's, like, so much going on that it's, like, overwhelming. But makes me emotional. But I'm going to skip it.
This is also a skip for me. Instrumental reminds me of the Migos song Superstars. It seems like they kind of just almost, like, took the entire beat and kind of just tried to remake it but not have it too similar. That's how it felt to me in a way. Just that kind of same kind of bounce, same kind of energy. In terms of content, you know, Quavo has really since after Culture, he's just kind of given up on
Culture
being,
one.
Yeah,
Culture
like the, one. Not even Culture two. Ever since, you know, Culture, it seems like Quavo's just kind of like given up.
And he's coasting,
just like, he's just like, well, they're going to pay me no matter what I say on this track. So let's just get it over with and record this freestyle real quick. And that's how it feels in this. Saweetie's verse and the hook isn't much more...
exciting.
I wouldn't say... Yeah, exciting is... I guess that works. I was going to say it doesn't really draw you in anymore.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I'm going to give it a skip. Next, we got K Camp, Lottery. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm also going to skip this one.
Skip.
If you take every like strip club anthem and strip it down, no pun intended, to... like, it's ultimate bare bones, this is what you get. There's no melody. It's just the same 808 pattern over and over and over again. I think until, like, he goes into the hook, it switches up a little bit. But K-Camp doesn't really say anything at all, much like Saweetie and Quavo.
I want to make it clarify that it's not even about the idea of saying that they're not saying anything at all.
It's just nothing new.
Yeah,
it's like...
And I guess you can't.
That's a good point.
You can't expect everyone to come up with something new for every single track, but it just seems like recently with our Slap or Skip playlist, we're getting into this. The singles that we're finding, at least, they're kind of just a lot of the same themes, the same instrumentals, a lot of the similar flows. So it's getting a little frustrating. So maybe we just need to get better at our Slap or Skip searching. I don't know.
I don't know, man. See, like, I try to balance it.
It's not. I'm not even attacking you. It's just kind of, this is the music that's coming out right now. And it's just becoming, you know, everyone seems to just not want to be unique, I guess. Everyone wants to make money. And I guess the path has been set in how to make some money off of trap music, so that everyone is kind of following the same structure.
Yeah, there's a formula.
I don't know if people are scared to, you know, step out of line and do something different, but there's a lot of singles that just sound similar, and this is another one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a skip for me, if you couldn't tell. The beat is, I think it's solid. You know, it's got the right now, I think the trend right now is the whoa 808. That's my best way to explain it. The 808 pattern is seems to be on every song right now. It's very similar that you can, you know, do the whoa dance to. And this one, it doesn't really stand out in any other way. So for that reason, I got to give it a skip. Lastly, we got Young Doll featuring Juicy J and Project Pat, By Mistake, the remix. What'd you think this one, Trevor?
I'm going to give this one a meh. I like Young Dolph's part, especially his verse. Yeah, the hook's all right, too. The beat, like, nothing really special. It's just got this, like, really ambient, kind of dark pad driving the whole thing. Juicy J, obviously, he'll bring you a lot of energy, as always. Project Pat comes out of nowhere, sneaks up on you with a pretty solid verse. But for me, there's just nothing a whole lot that stands out about this track, lyrically, sonically. So, it's all right.
I'm going to be honest. I only listened to this track once. I do not have an opinion on it. Check out our Slap or Skip playlist on Apple and Spotify to formulate your own opinion.
Yay.
All right. So, also, check out our Artist of the Week, Lazy Summer, which we'll play right now. This is the part of the show where it gets a little more serious.
Yeah.
On Sunday, it was announced that rapper, California rapper Nipsey Hussle was shot 6 times. And unfortunately, shot 6 times in front of his own store. And unfortunately, he did not make it. He passed away. So we're going to kind of just briefly talk about Nipsey Hussle. We didn't really, you know, write anything down. Just quick talk about it. It needs to be discussed. Very unfortunate. So let's talk about it, Trevor.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I'll open it up. Just I couldn't believe it. Like, it was a shock value I hadn't felt since Mac Miller, but this one was so much different. Like, this one just felt a lot different. Not because I'll admit, like, I haven't listened to Nipsey Hussle like beyond Victory Lap. Like, that is the only bit of Nipsey Hussle I've listened to. But after he died, it really started to sink in when, you know, I did my research on him, and you see, like, how much good he does for his community, how much good he did for his neighborhood, how supportive he was, like, how much he invested back into his community. And it made me realize that I'm not doing enough, like, as a human being in general. You know, I think a lot can be said where you have very strong opinions, and I'm guilty of this, where, like, I go on Twitter, I'm very vocal about what I believe in politically, socially, but those are just words. I'm not doing anything to act on that. You know, I'm not donating to any cause. Whereas Nipsey, you know, he put his money where his mouth was, and he just got stuff done for his community. He was just a great figure, and to get killed in your own city especially is just, it's heartbreaking. The city that you've given so much love back to, the city that you've given so much wealth back to, it's a tough pill to swallow. It's a really hard reality to swallow. And, you know, Twitter and social media across the board was pretty frantic that day. You know, conspiracy theories were flying and whatnot. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure they caught the guy, the suspect, today or yesterday.
He was in custody last night.
Last night, Eric Holder. I saw some BS tweet about, like, how he is, like, a government agent or something like that. Like, just let people mourn the right way. Like, don't bring in all this conspiracy bullshit, because this guy was clearly a great figure for many people. And, you know, I think his reach went much more beyond music and even his own community. Like, you saw a lot of athletes, a lot of other artists that were greatly impacted by his death come out and be vocal about it. So that's what I got to say about it. It's just, it's really heartbreaking. And, you know, as somebody who's not, like, a huge Nipsey Hussle fan, And if you're out there listening and you're not really sure what he was about or who he was, I encourage you to do your own research and just see how good of a guy this was. So that's what I got to say.
Yeah, when I first got the news, one, I saw that, you know, Nipsey Hussle had been shot. I was shocked from there. I didn't even think of the possibility of him not making it.
Yeah,
you know?
it was just the fact that he got shot.
Yeah, that he got shot. Yeah. Like, that was already just, you know, crazy to me. And, you know, it's sad. But one of my first reactions was when I heard his passing that, like, you know, while it's sad that a celebrity passed away, this isn't anything new in communities that, you know, Nipsey Hussle grew up in.
Right.
You know, people get shot in the hood every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. And it's really sad. And typically, you know, they're not gonna get the attention as the same attention that a celebrity would. But this is more of a systematic issue.
Yeah.
This is more of the fact, you know, the lack of education or the lack of equal education in neighborhoods like this, it mm-hmm. forces people to turn to the streets. It forces, you know, African Americans to, you know, either turn to the streets or, you know, maybe you can become a rapper like Nipsey Hussle did and, you know, make a ton of money and be able to change your community. But it's sad that for those that don't find that outlet, they
right.
there's jealousy could be breeded. And something like this could happen where Nipsey mm-hmm. Hussle is shot in his own neighborhood. It's very unfortunate. It's also unfortunate that he was murdered in front of his own daughter.
His family.
Minutes before he took a picture with his daughter in front of his own store. And it's just sad, man. What makes it even worse is just like how much he was doing for his community. The idea that you being a part of that community would end his life or attempt to end his life. Like that's just... That's crazy to me. It's really sad. I feel for Laura London as well as all of his family. Obviously, I didn't know Nipsey Hussle personally, so it's not going to affect me the same as someone as close to him. But, you know, I still felt it. Victory Lap was one of my favorite albums last year. Just how motivational it was, how it talked about rising from a neighborhood like the neighborhood Nipsey grew up in, how to rise mm-hmm. from nothing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that someone that felt like they were still at the level of, you know, having nothing would be jealous enough to, you know, kill a celebrity like that.
Right.
It's sad. But I think that's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
I would recommend, you know, listening to Nipsey Hussle's catalog.
Absolutely.
I would recommend starting with Victory Lap.
Yeah.
I know that was his
yep.
last work, but, you know, it was critically acclaimed for a reason.
It's Grammy nominated.
Yeah, a great piece of work. So definitely check that album out. And for those mourning, I feel for you. But today we're gonna move on to our main segment. You wanna try and explain what we're doing here, Trevor?
So we got a new segment we're gonna roll out today called Pause, Party, and Play. So essentially what Kerm and I have done is each of us have picked three different combinations of it could be albums by one artist, artists in general, groups, whatever. And we're gonna present them to each other. And we each have to say which we're pausing, which one we're playing, and which one we're partying. And you can equate this to Kill Mary. But yeah, we're going to have that for you guys. And after that, we're going to do Start Bench Drop, which is the ankle breaks equivalent of that. So we'll be doing that right as we wrap this one up. So, and then we'll have the fast break, and you guys can get on with your lovely weeks. So let's kick it off. Pause, party, play. I'll say my first one for you, Kerm.
All right.
So I got three Drake albums here for you.
Okay.
Take Care. Nothing Was the Same. If you're reading this, it's too late.
Okay. So this is where we're going to start.
This is where we're going to start.
Wow. So Nothing Was the Same, Take Care, and If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. Well, so Nothing Was the Same as getting a play. Mm-hmm. I could play that probably. Like, if someone was like, you got to play one Drake album every day for the rest of your life, I could do Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah.
I could do that. Nothing Was the Same. Just, you know, I think it's Drake's best work. You know, you got great songs like The Language. You have, you know, for the fan. Really, if you're looking for any type of Drake besides, you know, like, cultural appropriation Drake, you can find it in this one. You got, you know, the rapper Drake, as I just said, in The Language. You got the soft songs like Come Through. My personal favorite Drake song, Too Much, is on this track, on this album, where, you know, it's very, very introspective, very, you know, personal, kind of telling you where Drake's at, which Drake has always been like that, but I think as Drake has progressed as an artist, there's less and less of that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're getting, you know, a glimpse into the mind state and life of Drake. I feel like he's, you know, moving away from that with tracks like Mob Ties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I would make that my everyday album for my party, I guess. It's got to be, if you're reading this, it's too late, because you can't really party to Take Care.
Nah.
So Take Care, I guess, is getting skipped or getting paused. There's nothing wrong with Take Care. I just think of these three projects, that's the one I would have to pick.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Well, you can hit me with
yeah.
Oh, am I saying it now? Okay. Yeah. All right. So obviously I'm playing Nothing Was the Same. That's been my favorite Drake album forever. My favorite Drake song is also on that album, The Language. I just love his flow on that. That song is great. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's just like a perfect blend of rap Drake and Drake on Nothing Was the Same. You get the perfect blend. You get the complete Drake experience. And also, Tuscan Leather is probably one of the best intros I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's Drake's best intro, yeah, for sure.
A lot of people think it's his best song also.
It's debatable.
And yeah, but Party, gotta be, if you're reading this, it's too late. That's my second favorite Drake album. You know, that's just like rap Drake. Drake still at his peak, arguably hit Ghostwriters. Allegedly had ghostwriters.
It's not arguable. Oh,
it's not even, no, it's not even alleged. Yeah, no, he definitely
with other writers on the project.
Yeah. Which shouldn't even be a problem in the first place, but because it's Drake, it is. And then Pause, Take Care, you know, yeah, you're not partying to Take Care unless you want tears in the club, yeah. But yeah, that's how I would rank those three.
The way I look at it, this, there's going to be fans of certain, you know, artists, albums or whatever where we say Pause to. You got to pick one. At the end of the day, you got to pick one. So, like, if you're listening to this at home, think about it. Like, which one would you pause? Like, you got to pick one.
It's going
to
be Take Care.
That's the way to look at it. So, next, my first one I got for you. Yes, I'll start off with an album, too. Kanye West. We got Graduation, My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy, and Yeezus.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, that's a hard one. All right. For the rest of my life, I'm going to play My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That is, like Nothing Was the Same, my favorite Kanye album. There's just so much to love about that album. It's just so beautiful. You have Kanye at his peak, arguably. I mean, Kanye has had multiple great albums, but I feel like this is one of Kanye's defining works here. And you just get a whole collection of amazing songs on here. Runaway is like the first one that I think of. You know, that piano that just comes in and then the whole beat follows it too. It's just the build up to that track is great. And I feel like you get that great build up throughout the entire album. And it starts with the intro track too. The Party. I guess I got to play I think I'm going to go with Graduation and I'm going to pause Yeezus, which is really hard for me to say.
I mean,
really hard for me to say.
Most people say Yeezus is Kanye's worst album. I remember when it first came out, a lot of people didn't get it.
I don't feel that way. So, yeah.
Easily, you know, my play is the same as you, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. I just think that's, you kind of take the ignorance and, you know, the dirtiness in some of Kanye West's lyrics, and then you go and put it with the most grandiose sounds that you can think of, you know, mm-hmm. And the combination is just beautiful. So songs like Runaway, as you said, you know, the entire song is about Kanye being a that just is a terrible partner. But the music is so beautiful.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. It's just hard to argue with. So that's got to be my play everyday album.
Mm-hmm.
My Party is going to be Yeezus. Yeezus is, for me, it's just so experimental in terms of the sounds, in terms of, like, just the dark energy that comes with it. Like, anytime I listen to that album, I just think of, like, dark robots.
Yeah.
Like, that's my best way to explain it. Like, emo robots, low-key. Just the sound, you know. Graduation, which I think a lot of people are probably thinking I'm crazy because that's considered, you know, Kanye's greatest album by many. But for these three, for me personally, that would be my pause. It's got a ton of classics, but that album, I guess, maybe just based on my age. Graduation came out when I was 9 years old, and it's not like, and obviously I know a bunch of those singles, and I've listened to the album countless times, but it didn't hit me the same way those other albums hit me, you know, in my adolescence.
Yeah.
So for that reason, those are my picks.
I respect it. Yeah, Yeezus is a hard one for me to drop because I legitimately love that album. But moving on, the second one I got for you, Kerm. These are three artists. No more albums. Future, Young Thug, Playboi Carti.
Wow. Wow.
If you thought that one was a doozy, wait for the last one I got for you.
Wow. So Future, Young Thug, and Playboi Carti. Because really, theoretically, like, all three of these qualify for Party.
Yeah.
Like, all three. Like, that's those could have all easily been slotted into Party.
Yep.
But now I got to pick which one I want to play every day and which one I would never listen to again. So I'm just going to Band-Aid. Play Young Thug, Party, Future.
Oh.
Playboi Carti's got to die, I guess. Like, and I love Playboi Carti.
If he's going to die, he's going to die lit.
I'm going off facts. All facts. but I'm going off of discographies in terms of, like, sample size. Like, yeah. There's, I can think of a ton of Young Thug tracks. I can think of a ton of Future tracks. And Playboi Carti, I can think of a ton of them, but he's really only had two commercial projects. While Young Thug, even though he's never released an album, there's still tons of commercial projects that he's put out.
Yeah.
So for that reason, that's my decision.
Yeah, you said Young Thug was your play?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same thing you said. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to cut Playboi Carti because, I mean, dude, since Dial It came out, I mean, I remember not liking it at first, but after it grew on me, like, I could listen to that, like, snap of my fingers. I'd be like, I'm listening to Dial It today. But, yeah, Young Thug for me is just, he's one of my favorites, like, ever. So I can't demote him to Party, even though Future, you know, he always comes through with Party vibes. I mean, every pregame we have, we're always bumping Thought It Was a Drought. You know this.
Oh, yeah. No, every time.
Every time that song comes on at least once. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the same thing as you. So.
Nah, this is, whoo. Oh. Trevor, I'm about to light your up with this one.
All right.
Andre 3000.
Oh, no.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, no. I don't like where this is going.
And Jay-Z.
Oh, bro.
Either way, you're disrespecting the legend. I know. Either way.
Somebody's getting disrespected. Okay. I'm playing 3 Stacks. Just cause I love 3 Stacks. I just can't let him go. He's one of the greatest rappers of all time. And you are the reason that has become a mindset of mine. You convinced me. And Party? Oh my God.
There's a correct answer to this.
Yeah.
There's a correct answer to this. We'll see if you're willing to say it. There is a correct answer.
Party, I'm going to go with Kendrick. Party, I'm going to go with Kendrick. I think Jay-Z just doesn't fit that vibe, the Party vibe at all. And I mean, Kendrick has a ton of Party hits that, you know, from Humble to Element to DNA. Like, you just have, even Love, I've heard, like, not at the club because I've never been to the club, but, you know, at a party. So I'm going to have to go with Kendrick for Party, and I guess I'm just going to have to stop listening to Jay-Z for the rest of my life.
Yeah, low-key, like, this was an easy one for me. It's the same picks as Trevor. Just Jay-Z is, you know, not even arguably, like, arguably, yes, because I don't think he's the greatest rapper of all time. But if someone said he's the greatest rapper of all time, like, you're not going to get looked at crazy. All three of these are GOAT candidates.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked them as my, you know, three choices. I would easily, you know, play Andre every single day. Outkast is the greatest duo of all time. Try and tell me different. Andre 3000, in my opinion, is the greatest rapper of all time. Tell me different. Go and listen to International Players Anthem and then come back to me if you say he's not the greatest of all time. Go and listen to Aquemini, then come back to me and say he's not the greatest of all time.
Pulling out the receipts.
And the thing is, every album Outkast put out has a different sound to it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Kendrick. Hov, while, you know, he finally showed a lot of growth on 444, there's some albums in his discography that are similar, and there's also some albums in his discography that, you know, I don't think
aren't that great.
He has a lot more misses than both of these other two artists do.
I agree.
And that's why Hov is going to be my pause, but obviously three legends, but you got to pick one.
Yep.
You got to pick one. I think this might be that one.
And pause, Party, play. You can only pick one.
Yes, sir.
But all right, Kerm. The last one I got for you: JID, Earth Gang, and J. Cole.
Bro, this is. See, you think this is hard, and like
now that I realize, like, the the specifications we have for each category, it's not as hard as maybe I thought it was in my head.
For me, I guess this should be hard for me because, theoretically, J. Cole is the closest thing I could say I have to a favorite rapper of all time. Because just in terms of, the periods in which I've been listening to J. Cole, it's been a long span of time where I could say, I was listening to his album a lot each year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Born Sinner, I love that album. Love it. I know it's not even a great project, but I love that album. Just when I was 14 listening to it, I loved it.
Yeah.
When I was, 14. Then when I was 16 listening to Forest Hills Drive, I loved it. And I see why it's a classic. But J. Cole's my pause. J. Cole is great, but J.I.D. and Earth Gang, in my opinion, are making better music than J. Cole is making right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go Earth Gang. I could play Earth Gang every day. So Earth Gang is going to be my play. J.I.D. is going to be my party. And J. Cole is going to be my pause. Hate me if you want, but that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with you on J. Cole. But for play, I think I'm going to go with J.I.D. And for party, I'll go with Earth Gang because I feel like Earth Gang just has so much variety in everything that they make that you'll be able to pick out those party anthems. And I guess that's the specification I'm going off of. But, J.I.D. for me, especially with his last album, Kerm put me on to J.I.D. I can admit as a man that Kerm has put me onto a lot of music in my time here at UMass. J.I.D. I could play forever. That's no doubt in my mind. And his last album really showed me that. He's just got so much versatility, and I, can't wait to see what else he puts out for the rest of his career. So that's what I'm going with.
All right. Post Malone, Logic, and Jeezy.
Jesus Christ, bro. Are you serious? No.
You heard me say it.
No.
Post Malone, Logic, and G-Eazy.
Oh, all right. Pause is G-Eazy, 100%. I hate G-Eazy.
Wow.
You give a frat boy a microphone, you get G-Eazy. Party... Oh my god. All right. Party, I'll go with Post Malone. And play for the rest of my life, I'll go with Logic. Because I firmly believe that there is a time period in Logic's career where he's really good. You have Under Pressure and you have Bobby Tarantino 1. I loved Bobby Tarantino 1. Bobby Tarantino 1 was sick. But Post, he's got a lot of those party anthems, too. Those can be put on in the background, and I don't actually have to listen to them. But, yeah, Jeezy, you're getting paused, man. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but.
Pause all three. I'm not doing this.
You just made me look like a fool in front of the whole audience.
Yes, I did.
In front of the whole audience.
Now it's time for some start, bench, and drop.
All right. I see how it is. I see how it is.
So, start, bench, drop. I'm doing these literally off the top of my head because I didn't actually think of them that hard. Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, James Harden. Go.
I'm going to drop Dwayne Wade. Really hard for me to do, but he just doesn't have that shooting touch. Bench. I'm benching Kobe, and I'm starting James Harden.
You're fucking wild.
Bro,
what are you
James
talking
Harden
about?
Right now? Are you kidding me?
5-3-0.
He's a machine.
5-3-0.
He's a machine.
5-3-0. Shut the up, Trevor. What?
Bro.
So you would start James Harden, drop Dwayne Wade.
Yes, I would drop Dwayne Wade.
Bench Kobe.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm gonna say the only correct answer here.
James Harden is unstoppable.
I'm gonna say the only correct answer here.
Kobe was stoppable.
I'm gonna say the only correct answer here. Start Kobe, bench Dwayne Wade, drop James Harden.
Mm-mm.
5-3-0.
That's cap. How are you gonna get to the line with that?
5-3-0.
Wait, rings? We talking rings,
five,
bro? Come on now. Come
three,
on. Stop.
Zero.
Rings don't mean as your ability as a player. Get that out of here.
Don't mean They mean something. We can argue how much they actually mean, because teams win championships, players don't. But they mean something in this conversation.
They mean something in a 2-on-2. I'm taking James Harden and Kobe Bryant against Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade.
So who's James Harden stopping on defense?
Dwayne Wade.
Shut the f-
All right. And who's stopping James Harden on defense? Nobody, because he gets fouled every time he drives.
But Kobe and Dwayne Wade actually play defense.
Regardless. I'm standing by mine. All right, so the one I have for you. Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns.
So I'm starting Joel Embiid. I am benching Anthony Davis.
And wow.
I'm cutting Karl Anthony Towns. Right. Not Karl Anthony Towns. Actually, that's not that
surprising.
He did nothing wrong except like, you know. I didn't say that. Trevor said that Karl Anthony Towns is a bitch. I did not say that. I just said that Joel Anthony. Number 50 Joel on the Miami Heat, Joel Anthony.
Joel Anthony.
He's the greatest of all time, Joel Anthony. But Joel Embiid, I think this season has just, he's literally the modern day Shaq. You can't argue against it, just how dominant he is. And his team's winning. The other teams, I know they're in the West, but you can't say that for the other teams.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is paired up with one of the best point guards in the league in Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns, you know, he isn't as fortunate. You know, his second best player is Andrew Wiggins, so you can't blame him fully. But I just don't think they're nearly as dominant as Joel Embiid is. And Joel Embiid, mentally, he just looks to dominate his opponents, and that's why I got to put him on top there.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to bench Karl Anthony Towns, not because of what I said earlier, but just like you said, like, he doesn't have that killer instinct that either of them do, and Joel Embiid out of the three of them has it the most. And this season, Joel Embiid has been unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
The thing is that when he doesn't play for the Sixers aren't really even a good team.
No.
Like, they're kind of, you know, a middle-of-the-road team without him, and then with him, they are a great team.
Yeah.
So that's with them having three other all-star caliber players.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that says something.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's all I got to say.
All right. Oh, easy. So we're going to go teams. We're going to go
okay.
96 Bulls,
oof.
01 Lakers, 2018 Warriors.
Wow.
One's got to go.
Yeah. Oh, man.
One's got to go.
2018. All right. So before Boogie. I think I'm going to bench the 01 Lakers.
You're going to bench or you're going to drop the 0-1
Drop, Lakers? Sorry. Drop. That's what I meant. Drop the 0-1 Lakers. Like, yeah, they have Shaq in his prime, but...
What did you say?
I'm dropping the 0-1 Lakers.
You good?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Yep.
I won't cut you off.
And I'm going to bench the Bulls and start the Warriors. Bro, the Bulls are not stopping this Warriors team. They're getting absolutely shit on. 7-game series. Seven game series, Warriors are winning that one. And at least
six games. I honestly don't know the correct.
And the 0-1 Lakers are getting beat by both those teams.
The 0-1 Lakers went 16-1 in the playoffs. I don't know why everyone seems to forget that. 16-1 in the playoffs. I don't give a f if you went 73-9 or. Is my math correct? Yes.
Yeah.
73-9 or 72-10.
That wasn't the same team, though.
I know, but I'm just still contextualizing it.
Okay.
And then they added KD in one less regular season games and one less playoff games than the 0-1 Lakers. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know, man.
So
it's going to take more than that.
That being said, I'm still starting the Warriors. then I am benching the 0-1 Lakers. And yo, for every
you're dropping every the Bulls. 90s,
every 90s head that's listening to this, I'm dropping the 0-1 the 96 Bulls. I don't care if they went 72-10 and won a title. I don't care. I don't care if their defense was elite. There's no one on that team that can stop Shaq. So, and actually, am I really gonna start the Warriors? Now we're going 0-1 Lakers.
Wow.
Bench the Warriors.
You're feeling yourself now.
I'm not feeling anything. I'm stating 16-1. 16-1. You have Shaq and Kobe. Come on, bro.
Against Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. Against Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. I'm not even going to say Draymond Green.
Shaq and Kobe are the best two-player combo of these three teams.
Yeah, and then you have another team with a three-player combo, and then the other team with a four-player combo.
First of all, Dennis Rodman, like, as your third-best player, is, like, you're acting like he's averaging like 18 points a game. He was a lockdown defender and a
great
phenomenal rebounder. The greatest rebounder of all time, arguably. But
maybe I could see the case for the 0-1 Lakers and the Bulls, but the Warriors, there's no, I don't think there's any competition there.
Who is stopping Shaq?
Bro.
Don't give me a bro.
That doesn't even matter. Nobody's stopping Shaq, but you know what? Who's going to stop KD? Who's going to stop Steph Curry? Who's going to stop Klay Thompson? Kobe's going to stop Klay Thompson.
So first of all, let me speak. Kobe would be guarding Klay Thompson likely, or he could guard KD.
Now we only have to guard KD and Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, you're acting like Derek Fisher didn't clamp. You're acting like my guy Tyronn Lue, like he's not really up in them gym shorts strapping. First of all,
the only image I have of Ty Lue is on the ground. That's the only image I have of him.
And I was about to say, but who won that game? And the Sixers didn't win that game. So that was the one game.
They won the series.
But the end of the discussion is who was stopping Shaq. And
bro,
Shaq is going for 50
points
a game.
If you put all your eggs in that basket, you're losing a seven-game series.
Well, I guess who's stopping Shaq? The answer is the free throw line, but I'm still picking the Lakers. I don't care.
The answer to the free throw line. All right, the last one I got for you, we got a Lakers-related one. Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, and Kareem.
Wow.
There's only one right answer.
You can't drop Kareem.
No, you can't. Kareem
is really, in my book, he's the at least the third best player of all time.
I agree.
Wow. So I guess we're really going to do this, huh? I guess I got to rip it off like a Band-Aid. So start Kareem, bench Magic Johnson, and drop myself, because Kobe can pick my choice of picking, and I'll volunteer his tribute as the person that needs to get dropped.
Oh, my God. What a cop-out.
Because I would never drop Kobe. End of conversation.
Well, I would drop Kobe, and I would bench Magic, and I would start Kareem.
That's
easy for me to say as I'm wearing a Celtics hat. Yeah. But
all right, let's hit him with the fast break. And
so that'll wrap up that. So the fast break this week, you know, it's our weekly news segment for the NBA side of things. So Washington Wizards fired their president, Ernie Grunfeld, after 16 years with the team. The Wizards are eliminated from playoff contention this year and have an overall record of 568-724 during his time there. The Lakers announced Saturday that LeBron James will sit out for the rest of the season. Remember, LeBron suffered a groin injury that had him out for a career-high 17 games as the star looks to use this time to recover and maybe even A&R some more albums. Who knows? Maybe coach. Oh, wait, he's already been doing that.
Oh, you got jokes.
Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant have been fined $35,000, $25,000, and $15,000 respectively because of their criticisms of the officials following their overtime loss to the Timberwolves on March 29th. Grizzlies' Jonas Valanciunas will miss the remainder of the season after suffering a grade 2 ankle sprain against the Clippers on Sunday. Big hurt to their playoff hopes. Kristaps Porzingis is currently being investigated by the NYPD after he was accused of rape by a woman. Porzingis unequivocally denies the allegation as the investigation persists.
Make sure to read the article by Woj on that on that subject matter, just so you can, you know, get all the details about it. I'm not gonna spew opinion on that.
Yeah,
just read the article.
Yeah,
for
I'm
yourself.
Not gonna. That's I kind of left it pretty vague for that because I didn't want to dive too far into it and get my facts wrong. But next, in their 119-103 win over the Lakers on Tuesday, Russell Westbrook joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only two players in NBA history to reach or surpass 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 20 assists in a single game. Westbrook finished the night with 20, 20, and 21, dedicating his legendary performance to Nipsey Hussle. I think it had to do with the Rolling 60s, right? Was that the because that's the name of Nipsey's gang, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, you love to see that. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier, that just shows how far of a reach Nipsey really had in the sports world, in the entertainment world. But your winners and losers in the East, the Raptors are on a 4-game tear as they're heading into the playoffs. And the Cavs, who cares, continues to slide with 6 straight losses. In the West, the Jazz are looking poised for the playoffs as they have won 5 games in a row. And the Nuggets have lost 2. Not a lot, but they suffered a pretty bad loss to the Warriors. So that's the fast break. And that'll wrap it up for the episode, guys. Thank you very much for listening.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, 808s_abreaks, jkerma98 on both.
I'm Trevor Wilson, OG.
All right, peace.